Daniel Feinberg, chief TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. Daniel, thanks for coming back on again. Good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. Always good to talk.
Thank you very much. So I was looking. There's too many. Has anybody ever said, by the way, just off the top of my head, has anybody ever said there's too many nominations? There's just too many. I mean, page after page after page after page after page. I mean,
what I thought you were going to ask was, has what? Anybody ever said that there's too much television? Because I assure you that is also true.
Well, is there too much television? I suppose some people might think that. That's not my thinking. You know, when I was a kid, oh, here we go, diverting. That's okay. When I was a child, a long time ago, Daniel, I mean a long time ago, we were the last house on the block to have a TV. And it was so long ago that the store would let you have, I remember having two or three televisions in the living room at the same time. And you could go back and forth and check which one you liked the best. And then after we got that, my parents had a rule that I couldn't watch more than 2 hours of television a day. So needless to say, when I became an adult, that's all I did was watch television. So I don't really think there's too much TV. I think there's just like, it's almost like let's talk about who wasn't nominated as opposed to who was nominated, but
I think that a large percentage of the problem is when you go through and you start trying to figure out what some of the categories mean and how some of the categories are divided. And I'm not just talking about, obviously, comedy, drama, limited series. Those are confusing on their own. But then when you get into the categories like reality and structured reality and variety and structured variety, then even I can't keep up. And this is my job to keep up. But the good thing about the Emmys is that most of the awards that were probably confusing were given out last weekend at the Creative Arts Emmys. So this weekend at the regular Emmys, it's only going to be like 24 categories or something to that effect. And it'll definitely feel like it's entirely too many. Trust me.
I know that there's a couple of milestones. Kathy Bates, nominated for Matlock, is the oldest nominee for Best Drama Actress. Is that ever or just this year?
Nope, in that particular category, ever, yes.
And then there's the 15-year-old kid from Adolescence, who is now the youngest nominee ever. For Best Supporting Actor.
I believe, again, in his particular category. And once again, these things all become a little bit confusing because who knows what any of that really means. But yes, Owen Cooper is the youngest supporting actor nominee in a limited or anthology series. So take that as you will.
Yeah, and those two shows couldn't be more dissimilar. I mean, Matlock and Adolescence. I honestly have not seen Matlock. With Kathy Bates, but Adolescence, I thought, was just jaw-droppingly good and creative and different and spectacular.
It is excellent, and it has the advantage of being only 4 episodes. So that is one of those things where if people have not yet watched it, I'm not necessarily going to say that everybody would find it watchable because it is a dark show and it is a miserable show. On the other hand, it is a very, very good show and it's only 4 episodes as opposed to if you decided you wanted to catch up on Matlock between now and the weekend, then there's a full season of television and I guess you could get it done. It's hard to keep up with all the television, even if you don't feel like there's too much of it. There's not enough time. How about that? In the there's not enough time.
You know, and there used to be an expression, I don't know if it's still, it used the term channels, so I guess it's a little outdated. You know, there's, 200 cable channels and there's nothing on, or something along those lines.
It was 50. It was 57 back when the song came out. It was, I believe it was 57 channels and nothing's on.
Yeah.
Now it's several hundred channels, several dozen streaming channels. And really, you can probably find something to watch if you're looking. So, but that's not as good a musical verse. So,
and it's sort of coming around full circle when we had our analog TV, so to speak. And the networks and commercials, then one of the attractions of these streaming services was that they didn't have any commercials. Well, now, depending on what tier you buy, you've got commercials. And I bought a low-end tier. I got sick of it after a month, and I kicked in an extra $10 a month because it was unbelievably irritating. I mean, I'm not used to seeing commercials anymore on television. And here is a streaming show, and they've got commercials.
It is obnoxious, and that is how they get you, is that they trained all of us to believe that Netflix was going to be commercial free. And right. Netflix, for its first 10 years of streaming, they said, no, we're never going to sell ads. And then, well, basically, they realized they weren't making enough money without having the option to sell ads. And so thus we've got it. It's nothing is ever done for the convenience of the viewers, though I suppose that people who want to have cheaper options, that's more convenient for them.
So. Well, yes, indeed. And there's no reason why people who want to have the cheaper option shouldn't have it if that's what they want. And it's probably a good idea that Hulu and Netflix and all of them are offering a variety of packages. So in making it a little bit more affordable for everybody, because I think most of us sit around the house and watch these streaming services as opposed to going to the movie theater.
There's a lot of that. And most of us are watching more than those 2 hours we were allotted a day by our parents. So to be sure.
We're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN. Daniel Feinberg, chief critic for The Hollywood Reporter, talking about the Emmy predictions, and that's the theme from The Gilded Age, which happens to be one of my favorites, but I don't think it has any nominations, does it?
It doesn't, but that's because I think it was between seasons, basically. Ah. So if you just want to add more and more ways in which the Emmys are confusing, we can do that forever. So.
I'll bet. Well, do you want to make some predictions here? What would you like to do with all this?
I am happy to make some predictions, though I need to warn your listeners to not put money on anything I tell them. It comes with a non-refundable non-guarantee.
Sounds good to me. What are you picking and not picking?
Well, I think that what's interesting is that I would say that each of the sort of major categories, comedy, drama, and limited series, at this point are down to probably two favorites. And I think that is helpful if people are trying to figure out what they should watch before the Emmys on Sunday to catch up. So if, for example, you are trying to figure out how to get to as many winners as possible on the comedy side, I would tell you that Hacks on HBO Max and The Studio on Apple TV Plus. I would say those are the two that you need to watch. And if I had to guess, and you apparently asked me to guess,
yes.
I would say that my prediction would be that The Studio is probably going to win. It won a bunch of the technical awards last weekend, including Bryan Cranston won for guest actor.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that that's kind of where voters are likely to lean. It's going to come down to these two Hollywood satires. I think probably if Hacks is going to win something, it's going to be Jean Smart winning yet again. But then again, last year I would have predicted that The Bear was going to win everything in the comedy side, and Hacks won comedy series. So there's a lot of affection for that show, but I'm going to say The Studio is going to win the most on the comedy side. So then on the drama side, I think it's going to come down to Severance, which, of course, is on Apple TV Plus again, and then The Pit, which is on HBO Max.
Yeah,
and if I had to guess, my guess is going to be The Pit, and yet it's going to be the opposite reason as the last one, because Severance won the most of the technical awards last weekend. So Severance is coming in with a big lead already. What I think, though, is Severance is kind of, it's a tough show. It's a show that has a lot of mythology, a lot of world building. It's a show that some viewers love and then other viewers are a little bit cold on. Whereas I think The Pitt, it kind of came a little bit out of nowhere last year. It's a bit of a throwback. It basically feels like ER. It's got Noah Wiley, who I think is going to win for lead actor in a drama. I just think that it's a show that built an audience week by week over 15 weeks and just a lot of affection. And
yeah, I loved it. Yeah. My wife and I watched it religiously. Thought it was fantastic.
I think it's a darn good show, and I think it's a show that reminded people of what a well-made medical procedural can look and feel like. So it simultaneously had like 20 characters who you could fall in love with over the course of 15 episodes. Yeah. It tied your stomach in knots because it was high drama and high tension. It was just a really good show. And so I think – so we got The Studio. We got The Pit. And then on the limited or anthology side, I think it's going to come down to Adolescence, and which we already talked about, and The Penguin from HBO Max. I think that The Penguin is probably going to win a couple of the acting awards. I think Colin Farrell is likely to win. I think Kristen Milioti is probably more likely than not to win. But I think that if you are going to put your money down on one award, I think Adolescence winning for limited series is as close to a sure thing as you can get. So I think that is kind of the guarantee of Emmy night. But honestly, this is overall the most open and competitive Emmy night in years that I can remember. So I'm really excited. There are not as many foregone conclusions. Like last year, for example, there was no chance on earth that Shogun was not going to win every single thing it was eligible for, basically. Yeah. I think it lost supporting actor in a drama, and that was the only thing it lost all night. But you just knew going in that was what was going to happen. This year, there really are the possibilities for fun upsets. And I hope that we get that, because honestly, Emmy night is just more fun if there are a few things that nobody sees coming.
Well, you mentioned The Penguin. It has some of these shows have so many nominations. The Penguin has 24 nominations. The Studio and The White Lotus have 23. That's a lot.
Severance has 27. So,
God, really? I didn't get to that page.
Severance is with 27.
Whoa! And
already some of these shows, basically, if you go back to last weekend's technical awards, The Studio has already won 9. Penguin has already won 8. Severance has already won 6. But those are all, I don't want to denigrate those awards. Those are the technical awards, their cinematography, their editing, their casting. Right. You cannot make TV shows without those awards. But there are a lot of things where maybe the audiences at home don't necessarily know the names of the people who won. Whereas what's fun is you kind of have those technical awards last weekend. Everyone gets to be celebrated. There's still a big two-night party. And then we get the big, big show this Sunday night on CBS.
So this is your job, right?
Right? It is.
Yeah. Have you seen all of these shows?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? You've seen every single one of these? You've seen it?
Every single thing that is nominated for a major award, I have absolutely, and I've watched all of these shows is the honest truth. There are definitely, if you were to go deep on some of the nominations from last weekend, I think you could find one or two things that I haven't watched. And I feel bad about those. Like, for example, the animated series that won Arcane from Netflix. People love that show. I simply haven't watched it. But once you get past a couple things like that, I watch a lot of TV. I watch way, way more than 2 hours of television per night.
I did. Yeah. Well, it's also your job. I mean, you have that as an excuse as if you needed one. What about the length of the Emmy broadcast itself? Do you think anything's going to be done to whittle it down or make it manageable, or are just going to let it run free?
Exactly. The truth is you just can't. You can't, because there are all of these nominations and there are all of these categories. And at least some of that has to do with the fact that all of these guilds, whether it's Screen Actors Guild, Directors Guild, Writers Guild, they all it is their job to lobby to make sure that those categories stay in the main show. Like people will remember a couple of years ago that the Oscars were like, we're going to shorten the telecast and we're going to move some of these technical awards that we think people quote unquote don't care about. We're going to move them into commercial breaks. They'll be featured in the show, but it'll be really quick. And the guilds behind those awards said, excuse me, we are contributors to this industry and we're not going to get pushed off to second rate treatment. And basically the Oscars backed down a little bit, but they still keep talking about moving one or two categories off. But there are just too many. And you compare this to a couple of the other award shows, like the Grammys. The Grammys, that is a telecast for performances. And they give out 8 or 9 awards in the actual telecast, but you don't even remember what they are because all you remember are these fantastic performances. And the same is true with the Tonys. It is all about the performance.
You know,
that is what it's there for.
Yeah. Daniel, thank you for being with us. You know, and just one last note. I always say to myself, and I know there are other people who, I'm not watching. I can't stand those Emmys anymore. And then there you are. There I am in front of the broadcast. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see what the results are. There you go.
Always, always a pleasure. Till the next time.
Yes, indeed. Daniel Feinberg, Chief TV Critic for The Hollywood Reporter.